Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you here today. We have several teachers among us today, and retired teachers. Teaching is a profession that I've always had a lot of respect for, because it's not easy. It's never been easy. But it seems in our day it's even becoming harder. There's a lot of students that have little interest in learning. Teaching requires some skill sets that need to be learned and honed to perfection in order to be effective. Teaching doesn't necessarily just come natural to everyone. I suppose for some it might. But for many, it's something that has to really be worked at. And it's different methods that sometimes have to be used to attract the attention of some students. Well, some you probably never do get the attention of. But to get the attention of most, you have to really work at that and learn some techniques that are helpful, that draw them in. And what might work for one student does not necessarily work well for another. And so you have to think again about what method can be used to help encourage or draw a student in closer so that they will listen. You know, some teachers of very young students use some things that will make them look and gather their attention. And if you're teaching math, you might use some objects, like you might line up some M&Ms in a certain way or move them around where you can illustrate 2 + 2 = 4. Now, the principles of mathematics aren't going to change. 2 + 2 = 4, and it always has been and always will be. And so there's some things like that that don't change, or non-negotiable, so to speak. But the methods that might be used are changed. For another student, you line up some pennies or some coins or some toys or something else to illustrate, something that will help draw their attention and help them to learn. And for older students, it might become more challenging. And you have to get inventive again and think of some ways to capture their attention. You know, now, if you're teaching math, the truth of the numbers remains constant. That doesn't change, non-negotiable. But how you go about teaching might be different. Truth is truth. Regardless of what we're teaching, whether it's math or some other principles, there's some things there that just don't change. And we might find some similarities in methods employed to teach God's Word. That is, there's not just one method of teaching that works. There might be different ways of teaching God's Word that can be effective. And what it catches the attention of one person might just pass another one on by. Now, what's being taught doesn't change. That is, the truth contained in God's Word is unchangeable, non-negotiable. But different methods of spreading that word might be used. There's not just one tried and true method of teaching. The constant, again, is that God's Word says the same thing and offers the same hope to every man, and it is the power of God that in His Word, God's Word is the power of God to salvation. The passage that many of us know so well, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." It's a powerful statement. And when you think about what Paul was saying there, he was making quite an acclamation when he said, "I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not afraid to tell others about it." In fact, that's what he proceeded to do in the rest of the writing of the letter to the Romans. Without backing up in any way, even knowing that there was some disagreement among some about what he was saying, he had what he had to say, led by the Spirit of God, and didn't back up at all. "I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God that will bring us to salvation." And he was basically saying, here it is, we can follow this or we can choose not to. Paul had already made his choice, and I think most gathered here in this assembly have made a choice too. In fact, I'm not sure why you would be here if you were not interested in serving God and following His will and His Word. And I wish we would just be as excited about it as Paul is. I think many are. We know what the gospel is and what it offers, what it brings to man. And it's something that we should want to be telling others about. You know, if someone calls us up on the phone and says to us, "Hey, I've got some good news to tell you," we're likely to say, "Really? That's great. What is it? Tell me the good news." We're anxious to hear good news. Who wouldn't want to hear good news? Especially when we think about how we are bombarded with sadness and disappointing news daily, when good news comes along, it's something that we want to hear. It's something that we want to know about. Good news, you know, that can't be great, that can't be better. But you know, some people, you know, we think, well, everyone wants to hear good news. Well, no, not really. No. The greatest source of good news is that which comes from God. He is the deliverer of that most needed news, the news that would be most important to our lives. The gospel. Gospel literally means good news, glad tidings. That's what it means. And it is the plan that God has designed to save sinful men from an eternity separated from God. That's what the good news is. It's what brings us and draws us near to God. If we accept it for that, if we accept it for good news and we are moved by it, that's the good news that we have. It's something that we have and something that we should want to tell and share with others. And the desire to tell others about salvation that comes in Christ and the gospel of Christ is something that defines us. Or at least it should. It's what people should know about us. If they know us for any time, they should understand that we walk different than the world walks and that we have a light that guides us. And it keeps us from doing some things that they might think is okay. But that's all right with us. We're guided by the light and we know where we should be. And being led by the gospel of Christ, again, is something that should define us and something that people should hear. And that we've latched on to that. But as well, it's something that we want to tell to others. But a lot of people don't really want to hear good news. Not as the Lord would define good news. And that may sound kind of hard to believe. Who wouldn't want to hear good news? But the Lord tells us that there are many who do not want to hear good news, who are unwilling to accept the message of the Lord. All are not willing to receive that message. And it's not a new story. Jesus talks about it. Through the Old Testament period of time, it's the same story. You know, Jesus was a master at telling the gospel story. He understood and he knew the big picture. He could see and he could understand some things about it that we may still be learning. And he told time and again about the need of man listening to and responding to the message. And truly, Jesus was delivering the good news of salvation. But even when that message was brought by the Son of God to the lost of the world, there were many who did not want good news. They did not listen. They would not respond. And Jesus was one who could tell the story with authority. And he knew how to tell it in different ways. What I mean is by using different illustrations to draw people's attention. He was a master at being able to do that, using examples to help everyone who was willing to understand. But teaching the gospel was not always easy. It's still not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It was not easy for those he sent out. It's not easy for those who would be disciples today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we find a text where Jesus is preparing to send out his disciples. Jesus not only prepared them with the message that they needed to have when they went out, But he tried to prepare them as well for the rejection that they would face in teaching it. These are some of his closest associates. These are the ones who have heard him teach and tell the story. These are the ones who have seen him perform miracles to confirm the word, and they've seen it over and over again. They have a lot to say. And yet before sending the 12 out, he had some more to tell them. We're not going to read all of chapter 10, but just kind of look at some points here quickly. We begin the chapter by seeing that, it is the 12 that Jesus is speaking to. And he gave them the power to cast out unclean spirits, to heal all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, we see in verse 1, and names the 12 right here in the text. And in verse 5, he goes on to say that these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand,' and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Freely as you have received, freely give." Well, that's just part of it. That's just part of what he was telling them as he prepared them to go out. And, you know, they knew that Jesus spoke these things with confidence. They knew Jesus well enough to know that when he spoke about the kingdom of God was at hand, that this was right, that this was true. And that's what he's trying to tell them, that here's what they will be doing. Verse 7, you know, as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Here's the message. That was the message that they were to preach and the message that they were to explain. And so you would think with that good news that every time they walked into a village, everyone would want to know. And everyone would ask questions and everybody would follow exactly what they preached. No, that's not what happened. The record tells us. But Jesus knew that even before they went out. Jesus understood, even in a personal way, from this standpoint, that all would not obey, that all would not listen. He already understood. And so, who would not want to hear the message of salvation? Really? There are those who would not want to hear that, of the kingdom of heaven. Who would not want to know the message of the kingdom of heaven? Well, Jesus goes on to say, those in the synagogues and governors and kings, and that even those delivering the message would receive beating and scourging? No, everyone is not going to listen. In verse 16, Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you will speak, but it will be given to you in that hour what you will speak, for it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." That's actually a message Jesus will repeat again to them at a later time when he is preparing to send out his apostles. The message that they were to speak, and that through the Spirit he would remind them of what they were to say. That it would not just be them speaking, but he would be speaking through the Spirit and through them. And the Bible record confirms what Jesus said to them to be true, that these things happened to those who were sent out, and I would say even that it's the same story today. The message is unchanged, remember? The gospel, the good news. The message is the same. It doesn't change. Non-negotiable. Not our place to change it. It's the Lord's message. We are just those who deliver. And there are many who reject it. As the message goes out, there are many who reject it. And today, we are the ones to carry the message out. At another time, Jesus taught his disciples by parable, a lesson about the blessings of the kingdom of God. And it's in that parable that again, he acknowledges and he tells his disciples that most will reject it. And he says, even if you've worked really hard to get the good news out, many will reject it. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I want to read several verses. We'll begin at verse 15. I want you to follow along. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. And when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' And they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And when the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant then, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it has been done as you have commanded, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Well, let's think about that story for a moment. It's another one of those times where Jesus is telling a story he'll tell again, but telling it in a different way. Different examples, different illustrations that might capture the attention of someone. So it appears that the disciples were sitting with Jesus, perhaps having eaten a meal together. And he has already warned them about the need of being humble and remembering who they are. That's in the text previous to what we read. He's trying to remind them to remember a lowly place. Be humble in what you have to do. Don't exalt yourself. But he who is abased will be exalted. He's already said those things and kind of put in their mind some work that is to be done and how it needs to be, how we need to go about it. And so he has already reminded them of who they are and how some things need to be done, and now is saying to them, telling them some things about we should not necessarily expect that all friends and family, the rich and those who are important, are just going to respond when the message goes out. Here was a great man who sent out invitations to people that he wanted to come to a supper. And I suspect the disciples here really did not have an understanding of just what this great feast was, the spiritual side of the story, or that he was speaking a spiritual message at all. I wonder if they even understood that as he told the story. Oh, I suspect they got it. I hope they did. And I hope we do too. Because Jesus was speaking by parable. Remember, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That here was a man who prepared a great supper, and there are many friends who were invited. But when the day came, they didn't show up. They had reasons not to come. They had many excuses not to come. The invitations were already sent. Everyone knew that this day was coming. Everything now was ready. It was time for the feast. Come, all things are ready, he said. Oh, the disappointment. Can you imagine the master who has gone to some expense and work to prepare this great feast, is excited about having those that he has invited to come, and perhaps thinking, surely everyone will come. This is good news. This is a great event. Who would not want to be here? And yet when the day came, the excuses started, one thing after another. And they were not frivolous excuses, at least not in the minds of those who were giving the excuses, but these were important things, at least in the minds of men. I mean, their reasons and their excuses for not coming involve such things as real estate and business and family obligations. These are important things. But they could not see at that time just how important this supper really was. Oh, but there's more to the story. You see, there's more to the story. In the big picture, let's stop and think for a minute. In the big picture, who is the man who gave the feast? In the spiritual side of the story, who is that? Well, it's the Lord. It's the Lord who is offering this great feast. It is the Lord who has sent out invitations. It's the Lord who has now come to the point of saying, it's time. All things are ready. It's time for everyone to come because of the invitations that have already been sent out. And so the big picture of the story becomes very important to us now. It's a wonderful feast. All are invited, friends, neighbors, strangers, some close and some far away. Because when some of the ones that perhaps the master thought would first come haven't shown up, now the effort has been expanded. Now the servant was sent farther and farther out. Go invite these so my house is filled. But these haven't. Go farther. Go to the strangers. Go to the farthest places, to the hedges and to the roads far away until my house is filled. You see, the Great Supper speaks to more than just an earthly meal. Really, what it depicts to us is the last great calling, the coming of the Lord. When he separates out those who have accepted his invitation and those who have not. Those who have heard and have been moved by the good news that has been shared. And those who have had other obligations. Those who are too busy. Those who are not interested. Those who had other things that they needed to do. The servant did, as the master said, go out again and again and invite strangers. Because again, the desire of the master, the desire of the Lord, is that his house will be filled. But then the master said, then the Lord said, that those who reject the invitation will not taste my supper. Because when the door is closed, those who are still on the outside later knocking to get in are no longer invited in. That invitation has expired. You can't help but notice some finality to that. Time and again, when Jesus went teaching, the invitation was rejected. And his apostles who went out, first it was the 70, then it was the 12. Time and again, the good news that was shared was not accepted, at least not by all. Well, yes, there were those who became disciples, but when you just look at the numbers of those who accepted the invitation is just much, much smaller than those who rejected it. You know, back into that story again, the servant. thinking about the spiritual side of the story, the servant. Who is that servant? Well, that's you and me. The disciples. Those who are living for the Master. And those who are willing to do as He says. Those who are living in His house. And when the Master, when the Lord says to go out and invite more, and even as it becomes more critical and more crucial, go out again, go farther, and seek those who will accept the invitation. That was not a message just to the 12 2,000 years ago. That becomes a message for you and me. That we want to live in the house of the Master. We want to do His bidding. We want to do His will. And it is His will that there will be more who will hear the good news. But someone has to carry that good news. And that's you and me. And it's a message here that Jesus is teaching His disciples. Disciples long ago and disciples today. He's teaching us about our work in the kingdom. And the responsibility that we have, our work, is to deliver the message, the good news, to deliver the invitation of the Lord. And as servants of the Lord, we need to be busy about that. And we need to be busy about seeking the best way, the most effective way, the most effective means of delivering that message. And sometimes we really have to work at it, and we have to perfect the telling of the story so that everyone who is willing can understand. It comes natural to some, maybe, but not to most. It has to be by our interest, our desire, our drive, our enthusiasm about the message that we get over the awkwardness of talking to people about the message that can save them for eternity. I think now about 30 plus years of preaching. And something that seems to come somewhat natural to me today has not always been such. I know you don't believe this, but I was really shy as a kid. And speaking in front of people was not an easy thing. Sometimes it's still not easy, but let's just keep that between us. And sometimes you have to work really hard to perfect telling the story. To think about words that need to be said and how you want to say them. And I mean even practice it. Years ago, Sandra kind of got used to the murmuring that was going on in the office. More than once, she'd open the door and she'd say, "Are you on the phone?" "No." "Are you talking to someone?" "You talking to me?" "No." "Who are you talking to?" "Me." Let's just keep that between ourselves too. It's practicing. Sometimes you just have to talk some things through. And you have to practice how you answer questions to people. And practice your delivery on how you want to say some things to people. And when we think about holding in our hands the greatest message, the good news of the gospel of Christ, and the responsibility that the Lord Himself has given to us, His disciples, to take and tell that good news to others, we better be serious about being effective in how we do that. And working hard to understand the message and to be able to tell it and teach it effectively. And yet there'll still be many who reject the gospel message. Even when we work real hard to tell that message. And we have to learn that sometimes what works well for teaching one person does not connect with someone else, we better have another idea in mind about how we can relate to them and their life and where they are in life and be able to somehow interject the gospel message so that maybe, and this is not up to us, this part, telling the message is, but whether it falls on willing and open ears, an honest heart or not, that's not up to us. That's up to them. But it is up to us to tell the message and to be busy about doing that. God has given us a place in evangelism. Just like when Jesus warned his disciples that many would reject the gospel, that's what Matthew chapter 10 was about. That's what Luke chapter 14 is about. Two very different stories. But there's a common theme in what is being said right there. And when people reject the gospel, we need to be careful not to take that personally. You see, it's not about us. We have to get over that. It's about the fact that they have rejected the gospel of Christ. We all have certain talents. We all have certain abilities. And we all have a place in spreading the good news. All will not hear it, but some will. And it's not a matter of just waiting on others to come to us. The Master sent out his servants. And we see that time and again, that his disciples went out to teach the good news of the gospel of Christ. And we have to be willing and we have to be prepared to do just that very thing. God's method of evangelism is rather simple. It involves followers of his word telling others about the beauty and the blessings and the purpose of God's desire to save man. It's the saved going out to teach others about salvation. And our challenge is to find the most effective way to be able to do that. The gospel is unchangeable, non-negotiable. We can't change the story. But let's learn to be good at telling the story. And let's learn to be good at finding ways of getting that message out. That's what we have to be doing. But even today, you know, the invitations have already been sent out. The Lord has sent out a blanket invitation to all. When he has said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Have you heard the call of the Lord? Most here would say yes. Some here, I think, are still thinking about it. Some here, maybe, even as Christians, have stumbled along the way and are trying to get back up and get redirected again. But the bottom line is, the feast is being prepared. And there will come a day when the Master will say, "All who have been invited need to come." And those who refuse to come, those who ignore the invitation, when the door is closed, the day is done. And we need to make sure we don't wait too long. In such a very simple way, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Matthew 16, verses 15 and 16. You've heard the invitation of the Lord, but have you responded to it? Do you need to? Would you come as we stand and sing?